Today's liturgy and the reading from the Gospel according to Matthew invite us to celebrate the baptism of our Lord. The reading we heard from the book of the prophet Isaiah, one of four passages that were first described as the servant songs by a biblical scholar named Bernard Doom in 1892. Invites us to consider the fact that the call of God is a call to servanthood. As the Gospel according to Mark so clearly states it, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." In our service this morning, we will baptize Winifred Simone Satram, marking her as Christ's own forever, and promising, as witnesses of the vows made on her behalf today, that we will. That as the body of Christ, we will do all that is in our power to support Winnie in her life in Christ. We will be called upon to say those words aloud. Those of us most familiar with the liturgy will say them loudest, even though none of us really know what saying them might really mean. The baptismal liturgy commends that all the witnesses present at baptisms also renew their own baptismal covenant. And in the light of this and our colic of the day, Emily and I decided that we'd add the renewal of baptismal vows to all the services this morning, not just this one. Even if none of us understand what renewing our covenant and keeping it really means, any more than we know what this very day might bring to us. Or if by renewing our covenant we can actually take that commitment to heart. If pondering Jesus' servanthood, as well as our own, word enough to think about today, today is also the first Sunday of the season of Epiphany. Epiphany is a word derived from two ancient Greek words, epe and pheno, which mean upon and appear, and is a word rendered in English as manifestation or striking appearance, something that shines and brings light to something. The season of Epiphany began last Friday, January 6th, 12 days after Christmas, marking the moment when the star shining in the sky led the Magi to their discovery of the Christ child. We will remain in the season of Epiphany for the next 7 weeks until Shrove Tuesday, the day before Ash Wednesday, and the beginning of the season of Lent. Epiphany in year A of our lectionary cycle is a season rich in biblical texts. Texts that heard rightly will challenge us and provoke us. We begin in the wilderness today with readings from Isaiah and Matthew, and 7 weeks hence, with a pairing of readings from Exodus and Matthew, we'll find ourselves not in the wilderness, but on a high mountain with Moses, and on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, and the cast of characters from both the Old Testament and the New. Moses and Elijah and Peter and James and John all together. In the 6 weeks in between the first and last Sundays of Epiphany, we'll read amazing pairings from the text of Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament. These texts will all testify to the nature of servanthood, to the call of God for those who believe, and they are texts that will inevitably show that Jesus was a faithful Jew who, among many wonders, did one wonderful thing. He kept his covenant with the God of Israel. In these Epiphany texts, we'll hear Isaiah proclaim that the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. And we'll hear that read alongside the call of the disciples in Matthew. "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." We'll hear the prophet Micah proclaim what the Lord requires, that those who love God do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. And we'll hear that reading alongside Jesus' great sermon we know as the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Later in this same season, we will hear Isaiah declare in the name of the Lord, "Is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to let the oppressed go free?" We'll hear that proclamation read alongside Jesus telling his followers that unless their righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, they will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And still later we will hear from that wonderful text called the Holiness Code in Leviticus, a text that calls Israel to be holy because God is holy. And we'll hear that text read alongside Jesus commanding his followers to be perfect because their Father in heaven is perfect. The Sermon on the Mount. Then, on the last Sunday of this season of Epiphany, we'll end up on those aforementioned mountains. The first where Moses will receive the Ten Commandments, and the second where Jesus himself will manifest a striking appearance, shining like the sun. And our journey of the season of Epiphany will end with the very same words with which it began. "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to Jesus, the Jesus who read and embodied the call of the prophet Isaiah, the Jesus who read and embodied the call of the prophet Micah, the Jesus who read and embodied the law written in Leviticus. "You shall love the Lord your God, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And God is on the phone. You made me lose my place, Joe. Epiphany begins with Jesus' baptism, and then over 8 weeks shines a light on the calling of God for all those who are baptized in God's name. With the season of Epiphany, the festive season of Christmas ends, and the work of servanthood begins. On Christmas Eve this year, I read a quote by Howard Thurman. It's worth hearing again with one slight change. "When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Epiphany begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, and to make music in the heart." Amen. Amen.